Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.
Hey, baby.
I got a lot of money.
Howard, please. This is beneath
you. No, this is exactly me.
Casanova. You are evil, Demeter.
What you call me? It's not true.
Is it joke, my dove?
Why do you men so treasure this joking so?
Do you love me?
What can I say when you ask? You shouldn't ask, you know. I'll tell you when I feel like it.
Would you like me to give you something to make you sleep?
Now, there's a good idea.
All right, then. Come with me.
Welcome to another look at the Bon Vivants, playboys, and those who lived a jet-setter lifestyle, those tango pirates, and just what makes these men who they are. This week, Warren Beatty. The song is from the early 70s. We all know the lyrics. You walked into a party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, if it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go by. And all the girls dreamed they'd be your partner. By the time Carly Simon had released You're So Vain, she'd had relationships with Mick Jagger, Jack Nicholson, Kris Kristofferson, and Cat Stevens. But as far as the wider world was concerned, there was only one contender in her pack of previous suitors who had more than probably thought the song was about him. Warren Beatty had a lot to be vain about. His allure was legendary. Peter Biskind wrote he was Captain Cool, Mr. Natural, in Star, which was his biography of Beatty. He said it cost considerable effort to present a lacquered exterior like his, but you never saw the gears grinding. Warren Beatty was also an exceptional filmmaker who commanded above and below the title billing with his leading man looks and writing and producing and directing talent. And he shared with Orson Welles the distinction of being nominated in four Oscar categories, for 1978's Heaven Can Wait, 1981's Reds, and he was an Olympian womanizer. From Natalie Wood to Julie Christie to Madonna to Annette Bening, his wife of the past 23 years. 13,000 conquests is the word, at least conservatively. He approached both scene-making and seduction with the zeal of a late convert. He was born Henry Warren Beatty in Richmond, Virginia. Family was Baptist, and Beatty had a rather rich childhood with his mother, sister, aunts, great-aunts, and a bevy of female cousins. Despite all of this, he was inexperienced with women until he was nearly 20. But he was always naturally receptive to women and their needs. It was like he heard them calling on different frequencies. After toying with the idea of pro football, Warren Beatty moved to New York City, where Shirley MacLaine was already appearing on Broadway. He declared his seriousness to the craft by adding a T to his surname and stating that it rhymed with weighty rather than wheaty. In 1959, he was dating Jane Fonda. She said, "He was so cute, I thought he was gay. He liked to play piano in the piano bar." What were the odds that he was straight? Shows you how dumb I was. At the same time, Beatty was developing his Playboy reputation, scouring Vogue lingerie ads, headshots from casting directors, and 8x10s from modeling agencies for potential girlfriends. At one stage, he hooked up with and got engaged to Joan Collins, who was then being promoted as Britain's answer to Elizabeth Taylor. It was said that he liked to mold his women. Joan Collins said, "I had to stop drinking because Warren never drank. I had to take vitamins because he did." She said he would be calling me 36 times a day. But Warren Beatty was single-minded in his pursuit of stardom. By the time he came along, James Dean was dead, Marlon Brando had descended into self-parody, and the new wave of leading men like Tab Hunter and Troy Donahue were somewhat tepid. He won the role of Bud Stamper in Kazan's Splendor in the Grass, a torrid small-town romance in which he starred alongside Natalie Wood. Inevitably, he embarked upon an affair with Wood, the status as a couple sealed by Time magazine's verdict that Beatty has that certain something Hollywood calls star quality. But over the years, Warren Beatty would have just as many flops. And at one point, he had five stinkers in a row. The Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone, in which he played an Italian gigolo, and was notable for the fact that Beatty's fake man tan was in existence, and the fact that he took longer in makeup than co-star Vivian Leigh. Eventually, he broke up with Natalie Wood, and she said, "Warren goes through women on an industrial scale, but he does it with charm." Work-wise, he'd been burned by the experience of What's New Pussycat. It's named after his customary greeting to women on the telephone as he plied them for gossip. A Don Juan-esque comedy in which his leading role was scaled down as writer Woody Allen was beefed up. After that, he vowed, "I'd always be in control of whatever I did." And that turned out to be 1967's Bonnie and Clyde, the retelling of the exploits of the pair of 1930s lovers slash bank robbers. It went on to gross $70 million and garnered 10 Oscar nominations. Betty was now riding high. He moved into a penthouse in the Beverly Wilshire Hotel that he called La Escondida, the hideaway. And around that time, he took up with Julie Christie, who just won an Oscar for Darling. The next two decades bred many Beatty legends. There were the fights, such as Robert Altman's exasperation with Beatty on the set of 1971's McCabe and Mrs. Miller, that he filmed 25 takes of the climatic scene of him falling down into a snowdrift. The affairs with Michelle Phillips, Scotty Horn, Diane Keaton, and Britt Eklund, who marvelled he could handle women as smoothly as operating an elevator. Things were changing. Most people looked at 1990s Dick Tracy and saw the candy-coloured live-action comic strip of Betty, something that was exacerbated by his affair with co-star Madonna, who called him old man and dragged him to black gay discos in South Central. Eventually, he met Annette Bening on the set of his next film, 1991's Bugsy. Not only did he turn in one of the best performances of his career as Bugsy Siegel, but he also married Bening the following year. If Beatty is remembered as much for his peccadilloes as his place in the pecking order of the cinematic greats, you sense that he won't mind too much. Years after its release, Carly Simon actually revealed that she wrote the song "You're So Vain" about the music and movie mogul David Geffen, but Beatty had long since claimed ownership. "He called me," said Simon, said, "What's new, pussycat?" Thanks to the song. Whilst barely falling into the category of a mid-century lounge Lothario, I thought he was an interesting character to talk about, and a friend had suggested to me that I have a look at the life of Warren Beatty. Let's see if he ticks any boxes when it comes to the lounge Lothario. Rich, womanizer, unable to commit, certainly nice and vain. But I suppose the most interesting thing about him when it comes to the anatomy of the lounge Lothario is that I don't know whether he really and truly owned the title, apart from that famous song. He certainly wasn't a daredevil. Still alive today. Not a sportsman, not known for driving sports cars. And I suppose compared to the other people we've talked about before and met, well, I guess he's not much of a charmer when it comes to the con artist. Women liked him. I don't think men particularly liked him. And when it comes down to it, it's usually both sexes have got to really like the playboy. That's the reality of it. Anyway, he's an interesting fella to look at, that's for sure. Warren Beatty, in our Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.